The opinions and viewpoints expressed in this recording may not reflect those of its sponsors, Microsoft, its partners, or employees.
Welcome to show number 60, recorded live on the 8th of October, 2011, just after DDD North in Sunderland. In this show, I'm talking with Rachel Holly and Paul Stack, the topic being GIFCamp UK. That's happening one weekend in October 2011. It basically brings together a bunch of developers from around the country, a good couple hundred, and they start working on a project for charities. I'm not going to spoil anything else. I'll hand it over to Paul and Rach.
I'm sitting with Paul Stack and Rachel Holly. We're going to talk about GIFCamp. I should advise that some beer has been consumed, in keeping with every podcast I do. Guys, do you just want to introduce yourselves, tell us who you are and what this GIFCamp thing's all about?
I'm Rachel Holly. I work for DevExpress, doing some such stuff that takes me out quite a lot. What is this GIFCamp thing? Essentially, it's this idea that's come from America, or at least it started in America, by one of the DPE folks out in Texas. And he came up with this idea that he really wanted to take developers that are really passionate about what they like doing and give them the opportunity to use the skills that they have, with them being quite unique, and do something good for charitable causes. So I thought, I'll just put two together, we'll see what happens. And since then, I think they've spent the equivalent of something like $2 million worth of resources, I guess consulting resources, helping out about 150 different charitable organisations across the United States. And Paul and I have been talking about doing a hackathon over here anyway. And
a hackathon.
And then we said, actually, why don't we do the GIFCamp idea instead?
I think it started with you and Ben Hall.
Yeah.
You were speaking about it a long time before we did.
Yeah, one of those things where you have a good idea, but it just doesn't ever take off, I suppose. We never got our asses in gear.
And the first swear word on a podcast.
We didn't get our beep in gear.
We might edit that bit in, or not. So it's more at GIFCamp UK.
Yes, that's
really
correct.
That's the phrase we're looking at, I guess.
No, we're pretty excited about it, aren't we? I mean, we've got a huge number of people interested.
We've got 228 registrations. We've had 19 people drop out since we took registrations. So we've still got a huge amount of people. People are still signing up on a day-to-day basis. And we're still actually gaining interest from sponsorship.
Okay, so you've got sponsorship. You've got folks interested. What do the folks have to do on the day? What's their reason for being?
The plan is, on the Friday night, at about 4 p.m, 5 p.m, the folks will turn out, and they will come, and they will meet the charities, or who can make it down, and they will go off, they'll have a little planning session, and then they'll present an idea, pitch an idea back to the charity of how it works, and from about 7 p.m, after dinner, I think they'll start coding, start working on the project. They'll work. They can work as late as they want. Some people will be camping. Some people will be going off the hotels. Some people are going off the random flats that they've rented out for the weekend. And
it's cheaper than a hotel.
And people who can come back then for breakfast in the morning, continue coding. We'll have lunch for everybody. Continue through the rest of the day, then dinner, then probably some beers. Saturday night, you probably need to have a little beer after a long weekend of coding. Again, work possibly late, or they'll disappear, and then they'll finish at about 4 p.m. on Sunday.
We'll have a code freeze at about lunchtime to give them time to get everything closed down, set up, make sure everything's working, so that they can then deliver a kind of show and tell to the rest of the group and to their charity at the end of the day before we break off for a nice little
hog roast.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's an element of Dragon's Den in this, but is it just a 2-day coding affair, or are they allowed to continue to test and redevelop and bug fix after the event?
The idea is that at the moment, Paul and a couple of other people are scoping out the projects that the charities have submitted with a view to having a fairly well-defined brief before the weekend starts. So then that can be handed to the developers that want to work on a particular team, so they're not wasting time gathering requirements and things like this, and so that anything that needs to be done in advance, like getting pictures or perhaps collecting user information and things like that, can all be done before the weekend starts. Save some time, you know, don't need any of that activity.
Get the resources in place,
exactly.
Basically.
Yeah. So when the weekend comes, they can just get on it and get down to it. An element of Dragon's Den, I suppose so, just without the...
The charity's pitching to me have massively, so I've gone along and met three different charities, and it's really strange, you go into your boardroom and they're sitting down saying, this is what we would love to do, can you help us? And so you have to make notes and you think about it and you go off and then you basically, we've decided that most of them, I think only two that we haven't been able to do. So just because we don't have the right skill set and technology set, so we've just had to discount two completely. But so it has been slightly Dragon's Den-ish. Mm-hmm. Apart from there's no money involved.
No.
Well, maybe they should pay me. Maybe they should bung me some money.
So it's going to be fairly public in due course, and probably by the time this podcast goes live in about a week or so, what charities are involved, if you can tell me?
You tell me.
Okay, so we've got CTT, which is a charity resource that's a government-type body.
Well, gets a phone out that doesn't really look very Windows
phone-ish. It's not
a
Windows phone, it's an Android phone.
Yes.
We've got a
company even pronounce that.
Called Sussex Interpreting Services that we're going to be doing work with. We've got a company called Seen and Heard, which is a drama and musical-type system that they basically work with kids who are bullied at school, and they do musical productions and they get kids involved. Then you've got the Nathan Timothy Foundation, which is a songwriting charity that again work with bullied children.
Well, it's not so much bullied children, it's kind of like musical counselling almost,
yeah.
Isn't it?
But they work with children who are picked on and
exploring emotions through music, I think is what they do.
We've got Young Minds, which is a charity based in London. We've got lots. I think we've got eight different projects. Rach had the idea that we would leave a bit of a legacy with GiveCamp UK, so we would effectively create an open source CRM type tool that charities would take on and they'd be able to use going forward, and any charity outside of GiveCamp would be able to use. There are some big CRM tools for charities, and they're about $25,000 a pop.
Through the course of researching it, we just found out that the resources that charities have at their disposal, yes, they're quite varied and accessible in terms of what they can do and how they work for charities, and they're obviously really well used. I mean, things like Raise's Edge, now that we've found out about that, I've heard it in lots of other situations, but that's like £30,000 a pop, and that's
small charities just do not have that money.
That kind of investment in a software solution, and they shouldn't have to. I mean, they're doing stuff for good. That is their raison d'être. So you know, why can't we take unique skills that our developer community have got and allow them to invest something back? I mean, our developers, they go to work every day, they get paid their salary, they go in, and let's face it, that you know, you sit down, you do your job, you go home, you don't necessarily enjoy it, you're getting no satisfaction from your boss saying, wow, this is going to change the world, it's going to be fantastic, it will allow you to do this. You allow me to book my dinner in London.
I was going to say, you've obviously never been on the Top Table website.
But, you know, seriously, that is just unfeasible to ask a charity to invest that kind of money in a solution that might not be tailor-made for what they need, may never be tailor-made for what they need. So, you know.
This type of CRM application is possibly not the type of application we could finish in a weekend. So this could be one of those ongoing projects that people continue to be able to work with throughout the course of the next couple of months.
But we plan to put it up onto something like Codeplex, and in that case, other people can get involved, even if you haven't participated in GiveCamp, can get involved in helping to develop that.
Two charities have been fantastic, actually, in helping drive the resources for this and saying what they'd love to be able to have in a CRM system that maybe it's slightly tailor-made for them, but there's a base requirement that they can potentially drive in order to develop quite a good system.
How have these guys been specifying what they want?
Painfully, through lots of meetings, lots of telephone calls, late at night, very, very basic no-spec requirements that require lots of email interactions, and Craig shakes his head here.
No-spec.
And just basically from an initial requirement at probing questions in order to make sure that I get everything that I can out of them. So I've got, I think I'm on the chain of about 150 emails with charities at the minute in order to actually drive out decent requirements that people can work with.
Good stuff. I've heard the event is oversubscribed. How are you going to manage the fact you've got a full subscription of people and a full complement of charities with projects? How are you going to try and allocate the work between the folks that turn up?
I think the plan was that we would choose team leads in advance. So we really wanted to go with some quite strong team leads, some people that we know that are tried and tested and can deliver that sounds such a cliche. They can deliver software and be happy about delivering software and know that it doesn't have to be perfect and the code doesn't have to be completely spot on, that they know that someone has to go out in a working requirement. So the plan was that probably a week before, get in touch with the team leads, choose some and send them some specs, work with them for that week previous to GiveCamp, and work out potentially a basic team plan. We've got to be really careful because we might have a lot of no-shows on the day or on the weekend, so I can't really plan so this person has this team because it might end up that they don't have anybody. So it's a basic structure, very, very loose structure, with a real strong team lead leading the charge.
I think that's where I was coming from, because it's anything with registration, if you get no-shows, it kind of upsets any plans you've got in place.
Kendall Miller actually told us that we could potentially have a group of roving developers, and they would be like troubleshooters. So if any of the teams were having problems, then they could put their hands up and basically say, I need two developers who know this certain technology, and they'd come over and they'd help them get over a barrier.
Okay, so thinking of Kendall, is he going to be in country at the time?
He is, yes.
Is he attending?
He is. He's coming over. He's going to lead one of the teams for us. And, we're quite looking forward to that, because Kendall's a GiveCamp veteran. Anyway. He participated in the Maryland GiveCamp some couple of months ago. And, I mean, you know what these Americans are like. They get like crazy excited about everything.
Kendall, we know what these Americans are like. They get crazy about everything.
Crazy excited about all sorts. But his input has been fantastic. Invaluable, really.
Skype calls with Kendall at 11 o'clock at night have been invaluable.
Well, he's just going to bed at that time, surely.
11 p.m. UK time. Kendall's just like waking up.
Really? Oh, wow. Time zones, man.
It's been, whenever I feel as though I'm hitting a bit of a brick wall, I can drop Kendall an email and he'll go, well, let's think of it in this perspective, and it sort of clears everything up.
I think it's important to have companies like DevExpress and Gibraltar Software on board in these things. Who else have you got involved in that sort of space?
We've got lots of people.
We've had a fantastic...
When we sent out the idea and the first lot of emails to our prospective sponsor list, I mean, the uptake was just phenomenal, with people wanting to get involved and what are we going to be doing, how can they help. I mean, we've got people like Redgate Software who are sending down loads of stuff for us. Thank you very much to Hannah Jeremy there, Emily Parker at Telerik, and they're a big supporter anyway, and I'm allowed to say that as a GiveCamp organiser. As you say, DevExpress,
JetBrains have been fantastic. Brains, they're going to provide Addies, as well as DevExpress providing CodeRush licenses, JetBrains are going to give anybody who uses the rival software
This is quite cool then. So these attendees are going to show up, they're going to probably get access to products and software that they didn't necessarily have access to before, in order to potentially speed up the development of this charitable product. So yeah, these guys are going to get access to DevExpress products, to JetBrains products, to Redgate products, in order to facilitate the speed of which they can develop
the charitable tool from the CMS, this has to be good all round.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, for the sponsors that we've got, I mean, we've even got sponsors that are quite local to the event, people like Countersoft, who are donating a whole bunch of like drinks and coffee and biscuits and chocolate and all sorts of stuff.
Flip charts and pens, it's and everything. You've got UCL, who have been absolutely fantastic in giving, sorting us out the venue. We've got local companies like bakeries that are helping us out. We've got food outlets that are helping us with good discounts, and Mexican food and except, and Domino's have been very good as well.
Domino's have been very generous.
It's been a resounding sponsorship, actually. Everybody's been more than happy with it.
All good stuff. When is GiveCamp UK?
It is the 21st of October through to the 23rd of October, so it's 2 weeks time now, a little bit under 2 weeks time, which is quite exciting, really. It's coming really fast, bearing in mind how much planning time we've had. We started planning in like February and opened up our registration then in June. And then since June, it's just been non-stop.
It's up crazy. Until absolutely. It's now. Just gone so fast. So fast.
That is the way of events.
Yeah.
You plan an event 10, 12 months in advance, and the next thing, the event happens. And you think, where did the time go?
And the next one is already being potentially thought of. So there are plans for a student give camp in the summer of 2012, and we've already had some interest in that.
Going forward, that's pretty good news. So what happens with this give camp once the product gets to a stage of near completion? And I've kind of touched on this already. What happens when the charities come back and say, we'd like some extensions, we'd like some updates?
Well, the philosophy behind give camp is that the projects should be briefed and scoped to be completed within this weekend. So ultimately, that's the goal, is to have a brief that is doable for the team over the course of the weekend. And yes, it means a high pressure weekend, but we're hoping to be able to set a certain level of expectation over the next week or so, with getting information out there for the volunteers about the projects that are available to be worked on, rough ideas about the types of technologies and the solutions that we're going to be trying to help these charities with.
The charities have been briefed along the lines of that we need to know what the minimum level of the product that they can expect, and we've agreed in principle that the minimum level will be X, and if we can deliver X plus anything on top, they'll be happy. So it's been well spoken back to them that they're not going to get all of their wishes in one weekend.
And as to answer your question with regard to follow-on support, GiveCamp's always been designed that the responsibility ends on that Sunday, so none of our volunteers should feel like there's going to be any level of expectation laid at their door for offering free consultancy to these charities on an ongoing basis. But should those charities need ongoing support, we do have an arrangement in place with IT for Communities and Stafford there, who you put me in touch with actually, Craig.
Yes.
A couple of years ago. She and the staff and the volunteers at IT for Communities are willing to then take on small projects from the charities should they need ongoing help with the software or the solutions that our GiveCamp developers have put together for them. Yeah,
well,
so
well,
don't make
exercise.
Any credit code, people. That's the moral of the weekend.
Cool stuff. Now, Paul, you didn't introduce yourself at the beginning. Just want to say a few words about who you are.
Sorry, I'm Paul Stack. I'm a bit of a blogger, a bit of a speaker, a bit of a blagger. I've just recently been inducted into the JetBrains Academy, which is an academy to promote the best software practices from, I hate to use the term industry experts because I'm not an industry expert, but that is what they suggest, that is people who are well known throughout the community.
What about the rugby today? How did you guys do?
I was happy to see France win, and
you got slammed.
Yeah, Ireland got beaten. Ireland got
really
beaten. Yeah.
Really? I got told to say this.
Yeah.
Rachel, Paul, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Hopefully, GiveCamp is going to be a huge success in the UK.
Should be fun.
Looking forward to this one and the next one.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
The music used in this podcast was provided by Kevin MacLeod. Visit his website at www.incompetech.com. That's INCOMPETECH. This was a CraigMurphy.com production.